Morning, church. Just a few announcements before we get started with our worship this morning. The first thing that I want to say is just a warm welcome, especially to those of you who are joining us outside of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. We're thrilled that we can be together in this way. And if there's one thing that we've learned during this time, being separated and doing church in this way, is that there's no reason we can't keep this up after things return to normal, or return to the new normal, as folks are saying these days. So a warm welcome to everyone who's tuning in, and especially warm welcome to those of you who are visiting us from outside this beautiful valley that we're so privileged to live in. We strive to have a loving and welcoming church, and we're so happy to have you joining us. We are working hard here at St. John's to get an idea about what the end of spring and what the beginning of summer might look like. And just to give you an idea, our plan is to most certainly continue this form of worship through Pentecost, that last weekend in May, and I would suspect very likely longer than that. We are working in concert with local, state, and diocesan authorities around guidelines for what it might look like for us to be back in church on a Sunday morning, also back in the office on this campus that you help us steward so wonderfully and so proudly. But there's really no clear idea about when that happens or not. I'm going to turn it over to Mary. She's got an announcement for us before we ring the bell and have a little quiet.
Right, thank you. So I'm actually not going to be here for the next few weeks. On Monday, I am having a hip replacement. I'm a little terrified, so I appreciate all of your prayers, and I will miss you all. This is the highlight of my week, so I'll miss you, and I look forward to seeing you all again soon.
We're going to miss you too, Mary, and we're going to do our very best to keep your family fed while you're recovering. We look forward not only to you being back here with us, but being back here with us without any pain on those wheels.
Fantastic.
So let's have a little ring of the bell and some quiet.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole, so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love. Amen.
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 Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from 1 Peter. It is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's recite Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul, and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So it's my week to kick off our sermon discussion, and as Mary and Brian and I were circling around this gospel earlier this week, there was this sort of collective sigh or gasp of like, wow, like this one's a little tougher than we've had for the last few ones. And I think Brian even said, like, well, there's their 23rd psalm, you can preach on that.
That's right.
And that's tempting. But I also have this sense that when we get deeper into Easter, the story becomes appropriately more complex. And so I want to address this passage that Jesus is giving in John's Gospel. We can't really address one of these passages that are so familiar in John's Gospel without making the reference. When Jesus says, "I am the gate," just as he says, "I am the vine," "I am the good shepherd," which is up and coming right on the heels of this, or the tail of this, or the nose of this passage, however you're reading it. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." These "I am" statements that are in John's Gospel are most assuredly referencing that Abrahamic moment, where we hear the voice of God say, I am, or I am who I am." This understanding that the popular theologian Paul Tillich calls God being itself. And this idea that the very core of the nature of God is sown into creation and sown into our being and expresses itself externally toward us in that way, and also expresses itself internally from our own being and our own connection with Jesus, this incarnate figure, brother, savior that we have in front of us. And so I mean to connect that. I suppose that perhaps some of our more fundamentalist brothers and sisters would insist, no, this happened on, you know, March 7th at 4 p.m. at year AD 32. And there's really no reason for me to insist that he didn't say this. But what the point that I'm trying to make is that when he said it, he was tying this entire story of God's identity together for us again. And he does that so well in the Gospel of John. Those are some of my favorite readings. So now we need to get to this more complex metaphor that he has. I am the gate. What is he talking about there? Well, I will tell you how I've heard it, and I will tell you in my heart how I believe it, and then perhaps we can have a conversation about that going forward. If we're just reading on the surface of this passage, what we're hearing is that the kingdom is both a place of safeguarding, but also sort of prohibitive. Like you can't steal your way in, you can't sneak in, you have to come through this gate. And I think for decades, centuries, maybe longer, followers of Jesus have interpreted this passage to mean that unless you believe what I believe, and unless you act like I act, and unless you ascribe to what we ascribe to liturgically, theologically, ecclesiologically, then you're not going to make it through the gate. Like, sorry, Brian, you're great, but, you know, but you're just not there. I feel like that's how it's been read, most certainly. We have perhaps been involved in church communities that read this passage that way. Perhaps we have read it that way ourselves in our own lives at other times. I think to read that passage in that regard is both too easy, and it ignores the meta-narrative of the entirety of the story. And I just said, this passage is trying to tie everything together, this idea of like your descendants will be as rich and multitudinous as the stars in the cosmos. So this idea of like everybody is included. But I do think it references something here that's important. And First Peter touches on it a little bit. Paul touches on it often because he has a more severe approach to the good news. But it's that there is work to be done in order to fully embody and fully embrace and fully pursue the way. That work has been misconstrued over time as, well, I need to engage in self-betterment in such a way that I improve upon myself and finally I will be allowed in. You know, no, I'm throwing that out the window. Please drop it. Drop it like a hot rock. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that the difficulty for us as human beings centers around our ability to accept our position, which I would describe as beloved, but to accept our position as worthy and valued and so close to the heart of God that we are inseparable from God. And it is when we speak of challenge, when we speak of striving, we are not speaking about a gospel of sin management. We're speaking of the way and how just naturally challenging it is for us as human beings to accept this deep, valuable, inseparable position that we have with God. So that's an awful lot to give y'all, but that's what I'm giving you.
What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What do you want to say to that? Wow. Yeah, that is a lot. I mean, and that's because of the nature of that short little text. It's just jam-packed mm-hmm. with a lot of stuff. And what occurred to me as I was reading it today, and it's funny, I don't know if you two ever experienced this, but often I will prepare a sermon, and then as the gospel is being read, I'll hear something entirely different and go, oh gee, I wish I would have talked about that.
It's but living words.
But the thing that jumped out at me today is this particular text, I think, has been used in the way you described it, Jimmy. It's like, okay, here's this sheepfold. Here's this walled area with a gate. And you only get to come and go through that gate through me, Jesus, right? Okay, I mean, he says that. But what I hadn't really realized until I read it today was then he doesn't keep all the sheep inside the sheepfold. He leads them out.
Yeah.
You know, and that was what was amazing to me is, you know, we're not in this in order to be included in some club, in some inclusive club. We're in this in order to be let out. Mm. And led out into freedom, mm-hmm. led out mm-hmm. into love, mm-hmm. led out into the world. We don't stay in the sheepfold.
Yeah, I love that.
And so I just lost my train of thought, so I'm gonna let you take it from there.
I feel like you're going in one direction and you're going in another, and I'm here in the middle.
You're gonna try to wrap the plans for us.
When I hear you speaking, I think about sort of that transformational nature of God and faith, and something when you accept God into your heart in that way, it changes who you are. Mm. So when you're talking, I'm thinking that sort of, and I think in some ways it's a choice. You can choose to not accept that and not let that in and not let yourself be changed by it. Sometimes you don't have a choice, it changes you anyway. like it or not. But I think that sense of the belovedness, when you feel that true sense of being beloved by God, it changes the way you interact with the world. And I guess maybe trying in what you're saying, being let into that fold in whatever way, not that there's that one gauge or there's one way to God or any of those things, but and then knowing when you're in the fold that you have that belovedness in your heart and then going out. It transforms you in ways that you don't anticipate or expect and sometimes not even want. But it is transformational. So.
Yeah, so if we're talking about those two different ways of reading this passage, mm-hmm. and we are talking about that,
yes.
That first way that we described puts the behavior side first,
right.
and the
yes.
identity piece second.
Right. Right.
Like, as long as you do these things, you will become beloved,
yes.
and you will gain entrance
yes.
into the corral.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that we're describing it is, no, that's not it. As scary as it is to say this in a sermon, and as hesitant as I am, I'll say it anyway. There is a right way and a wrong way to this. Mm-hmm. There is an order, so to speak,
right.
of like the first piece is the acceptance of that belovedness. And then the second piece is, my life adapts in such a way that I can't help but express this love.
Exactly.
So if we're trying to teach our children, say, generosity,
right?
You know, maybe in that first order, it's like, well, here's your allowance. It's $10. I want to make sure you give one to the offering plate and maybe two more, you know, to these other helping agencies. That's one way to do it. Maybe that first order way. Mm-hmm. But in that second order way, like, we teach our children the lesson of generosity by saying, you are loved. You are cherished. There's nothing you can do or not do to separate yourself from the love of this family that we have. From, you know, sure, you make mistakes. That doesn't speak to your value or your place. Your, you know, to go back to the root of that religious word, your re ligare, you're rebound up onto us. Like, it's so tight, it can't be unwound.
I'm thinking several weeks back when we talked about the law and the heart and all of that, and that there is that sense of, is it something that's coming from outside and you're following the rules and you're playing by the, you know, playing the way you're supposed to so you can get through the gate, or is it something that's just deeply in your heart? Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is the belovedness is in your heart. I mean, you have to feel that sense, and that's where we're coming from, is that place of, once you are beloved and you really accept that mm-hmm. belovedness, the rest of it just comes.
Yeah, and I guess one more thing that I should say is, don't hear what I'm not saying, mm-hmm. don't hear what you're not saying or you're not saying. It's not that that sense of identity is there 100% of the time, right?
It's not. No.
I mean, because we could accidentally, and with the best of intentions, lead people to think that's what we're talking about. Ah, no, it's Pauline. You get blinded and knocked off your donkey and you hear the voice of God. That's not how it happened for me.
No.
It happened slowly over time.
Yep.
And it was hard to accept that. It's still hard.
Well, maybe that's because it's so hard to accept that we're beloved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What a lesson that is to learn.
It's countercultural.
It is.
You know, that we don't have to earn something. Mm-hmm. We don't have to earn our love. We just are beloved.
Mm-hmm. And that changes us.
That changes us.
All right, church. The A is on the report card before the semester ever starts. And that's how it goes in the kingdom. Really happy to have you tune in and listen to us. And we're gonna turn it over to Brian, and he's gonna give us a little homework.
So how about this week? We all try to listen for those moments, see those moments, feel those moments where that sense of belovedness springs up in us, where it grows in us. And that may be I'm not even gonna say where that may be, because I don't know where that'll be for you, and I don't know where that'll be for me either. It's always a surprise to me when that sense of ease and belovedness comes over me. And so let's watch for those moments this week, and then let's try to say thank you when those moments arise. And like Jimmy said, the grade is always A.
Why should I feel discouraged?
Join me as we read together the Christian affirmation in a time of uncertainty. We believe in God the Creator, who reminds us in the dawning of every new day that new life is possible. We believe in the wonder and grandeur of the universe, where the whole of life is called to live in harmony of care. We believe in Jesus Christ, who prayed the mountains of peace and brought us the word in mustard seeds and fig trees of blessing, whose footsteps touch the earth in love and who invites us to follow. We believe in the Holy Spirit, whose wisdom often lies embedded in ancient peoples. They trod lightly across deserts and lived gently among plants and creatures. They reached respectfully for the mystery which is God with us, the one who never leaves us or forsakes us. We believe in the everlasting hope, the great calling of the people of God, the Church, for the transforming of all things which is possible in God. Amen.
All our heart and all our mind, let us pray to God, saying, in your goodness, hear our prayer. In this time of confusion, vulnerability, and uncertainty, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That our spiritual leaders may serve your people in ways that demonstrate your love and healing power, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That the leaders of this nation and all others in authority may be guided by your wisdom and find strength and courage to know and accomplish your purposes in the midst of these troubling times. Let us pray. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That all peoples of the earth, especially the most vulnerable among us, be kept safe. Let us pray to God for the special needs of our congregation, especially for Jackie, Mark, Eric, Paul, Rebecca, Marion, Stan, Sylvia, Megan, Warren, Melissa, Gail, Pat, Amy, Robin, Ernie and Francis, Ned, Mark, Julie, Nancy, Tony, Svetlana, Jim, Rob, Kelly, Sue, Susie, Stephen, Mary, Russell, Nikki, Anne, Cindy, Evelyn, Jean, and those we now name. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we, your people, may find joy and compassion and unity, that we may find new ways to connect and love one another. Let us pray to God in thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays: Bob, Alan, Rod, Austin, George, Martha, Julia, Ruth, John, Margie, Mary Catherine, Carly, Natalia, Valerie, John, Isabella, Julie, and those celebrating anniversaries, Rob and Molly, Jack and Carol. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we may have patience as your work in the world unfolds, that we do not fall into despair, but rise in hope. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That those who have died may find peace and joy among the communion of saints. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
God, whose vision spans all the ages of the earth, help us to see beyond this moment and to embrace the wider perspective of your whole creation. Deliver us from fear and lead us into a way of love and justice that makes room for all peoples. Send your spirit among us that we may know the healing power of your love. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, the reconciler of the world.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and his Son, Jesus Christ. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the risen Christ.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. Hallelujah.